Hello and welcome to the Classic Car Weekly podcast, the sibling podcast to the popular weekly title. I'm this week's host, Jesse Billington, and I'm joined by the editor, David Simister. How are you?
I'm good, yeah. No, it's another busy week on Classic Car Weekly, lots of things going on, and you're looking forward to getting out to quite a few events over the next few weeks, actually. It's the season's really starting to kick in now, which is really good to see.
Yes, yeah, the sort of final weekend of May, first weekend of June always seems to be an absolutely rammed one when it comes to events. There's just so much going on this weekend. It's bonkers, really. We've got a fair few that CCW will be at, and obviously we'll discuss those after the events, and where we've got all the team back together, having enjoyed their trips out and about across the weekend. Is there anywhere you're heading off to yourself?
Yeah, I was going to say, so I'm going to be heading to Bicester for its first big event after the awful fire that happened earlier this month. So I'm heading to We The Deal Alive. That's a new event that's being helmed by Mike Brewer. He's got some of his friends from the world of classic cars and TV with him. And it's going to be quite a poignant one, I think, obviously, because they're using the event and the accompanying auction from Classic Car Auction to try and raise funds for those affected by that awful event. So that's obviously something which I'm quite looking forward to sort of seeing being really successful this weekend. But we've also got other members of the team heading to, we've got Chris and James, our featured writer and our managing editor. They're heading on the London to Brighton Classic Car Run, which is a Classic Car Weekly backed event. So that's looking like it's going to be a really good event. We've got one of our guys are heading to the Coventry Motor Fest, and we've got another one going to Classic Stony. So there's all sorts of things going on over this weekend in particular, and you know, it just kind of goes to show actually how resilient sort of the classic car hobby is at the moment.
Yeah, it's bounced back nicely, and again, I think that leads nicely into sort of what will be our first news story when we get to it. Actually, we might as well dive straight into it, unless you've got any Our Classics news to sort of fill the readers in. Have you been busy with the Toyota or the Mazda?
I mean, the Toyota's been clocking up lots of miles recently. It's going to be clocking up even more when it goes to sort of to Bicester and back over the next few days. The MX-5 has been relatively quiet, but it's still starting up the first time. It's moving. It's not really moved much beyond the driveway, but it's awaiting more love and attention at the moment.
Very good. I was going to say, there's been a bit of an update on my side of things. The MG's engine is now pretty much all there. I've recently installed fresh valves, springs, collars and collets, so I've been spent a lot of mornings and evenings before and after work grinding in by hand some fresh valves, so lots of grinding paste and the little sort of suction cup lollipop sticks, getting that sat nicely. But built that up the other evening, so now it's a case of simply popping the head on and popping it into the car. Hopefully.
Goodness, so you have been busy by the sound of it.
Yes, yeah, we've got the entire of the bottom end is now sort of finished, wrapped up. I've got the sump on there, fixed and altered a few bits and pieces that British Leyland failed to engineer properly when they originally built it as well. So circumvented some problems from the design board. But again, that'll all come clear in a future Our Classics, which I do need to hurry up and write for Chris. But as I've already mentioned, we're obviously off to a lot of shows, and one of those shows is happening at Bicester Heritage. And one of the great pieces of news we've got in the latest issue is that thousands of pounds have been raised to help support those people affected by the sort of tragic fire that happened and took three lives. And it's one of those nice things where there's sort of a silver lining in the rather tragic crack cloud, and this sort of great coming together of the classic community.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all of us on Classic Car Weekly were really shocked and saddened to hear what happened with that dreadful fire on the evening of May 15th. And it's obviously very sad to see that sort of Hangar 79, which is a really big part of that very historic site, has been destroyed, and as have quite a lot of the classics that were being stored inside it. But actually, the real tragedy here is that three people very sadly lost their lives, and again another two firefighters were taken to hospital with some quite serious injuries. So obviously our deepest condolences go out to everyone who was sort of the friends and family of those who sadly lost their lives in that incident. But what has been really encouraging since then is that we've seen a lot of work going on to raise funds for those affected, particularly the a lot of lot has been going forward for the firefighters charity, and I know that one fundraiser in particular has already managed to raise more than £23,000 in a very short time, which is a really heartening thing to see. Certainly We the Deal Alive, I know that will be continuing this Sunday, so I know that Classic Car Auctions, who have their sale at the event this weekend, they will be donating 50% of the revenue from their catalogue sales to help good causes related to that. So and I know that Mike Brewer and the team at We the Deal Alive are doing a lot to help those who've been affected as well. So actually I think, as well as a really sort of successful event, and one which is, I think, going to be quite innovative because it's very much a buying and selling focused show, it will also be a really nice tribute to those, to all those who work at Bicester Heritage and those who sort of work so selflessly to try and contain that fire. So I think really this one's for them.
There's sort of tributes being laid on and sort of memorial spaces being sort of set aside to sort of ensure that while the event can go ahead, it doesn't go ahead without sort of paying proper homage to sort of obviously what's come before it in a very recent and tragic sort of circumstance. So it's great to see the show sort of producers respond so actively to it and in such a sort of thoughtful manner. So it's you sort of come away from it going, I don't feel bad the show's going ahead, it's taken the appropriate steps, and it's good to see. And again, the support the event is putting back into sort of, like you said, the charities, the money being raised for it, the awareness and so on is really nice. And I think that at the end of the weekend people will be able to enjoy the event and sort of feel better for it, knowing they've been able to attend the event and continue to sort of use Bicester as it's sort of celebrated for this great event space, but in without sort of having to feel too callous about it. It's a really nice step. And obviously, like I said, £23,000 had been raised by the time we went to press on Monday, so obviously the number now could be higher still. And truly heartening to sort of see that this brilliant support come from sort of the motoring classic car world.
Yeah, and I think certainly the outpouring of support from the classic car community in particular is reflective of just how much of a focal point Bicester Heritage, now Bicester Motion, because it's much bigger than just Heritage now, how focal that's been to our movement. I mean, I remember sort of 12 years ago when the team there was sort of just setting up, and it's grown and grown since then. They've really managed to transform this historic World War II airfield into a really thriving part of the community. Obviously they sell cars, they store cars, they have businesses, restorers, they help train the next generation of apprentices. So it's actually a really important part of Britain's classic car movement.
And it's sort of one well worth supporting. And again, I think the sort of end result of it, as tragic as the steps have been to get to this point, it's another sort of a poignant reminder of just how strong that community is around it. We'll dive elsewhere into the current issue, and we've already sort of given him mention so far, obviously with the Wheeler Dealer show coming up, but we asked Mike Brewer to lay down his clever classics and his sort of top buys that he's most excited for as they sort of emerge onto the classic scene, or already stand on the classic scene in some of the cases and have yet to even arrive as classics. It's an interesting spread, this feature, and a very, very worthwhile read, sort of taking Mike Brewer's sort of savvy market tips.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mike Brewer, he's been trading classics longer than most of us can remember. I remember him sort of in the late 90s doing a show on Channel 4 where he was kind of sharing his tips even then. And obviously, wheelies, he's been all over the world. He must have bought and sold hundreds and hundreds of different classics since then in all sorts of different conditions. So he knows his stuff, and that's part of the reason why this event on Sunday so potentially interesting. And some of the cars that he's mentioned actually I think are really interesting, and I'd like to think I was a little bit ahead of the curve, because one of the cars he talks about is an Austin Mini Mayfair, which was my very first car, and I thought I'd done well with mine then, because I bought it for £400 and sold it for £800, so I thought I was in the money then. But actually it's the values have gone way beyond that since then. So again, but some of the stuff he talks about about the Ford Fiesta RS Turbo's another one. This is the early 90s hot hatch, and certainly, you know, we've seen you know, quite recently what's been happening with XR2s. It's going for some very big prices, the 80s example. So yeah, I think he probably is on the money, and it's worth having a read as well, because he also includes quite a few of his buying tips. So if you're thinking about buying a classic car, who better to get some advice from the guru who's been doing Wheeler Dealers for more than 20 years?
Yeah, if anyone knows how to buy a shed, or rather how to avoid buying a shed, it's certainly Mike Brewer. Which, obviously, you mentioned the Fiesta RS Turbo is a big jumping out point, obviously the Mini Mayfair, given that you'd owned one. I have to say, there's certainly from sort of cars from my generation that sort of stand out on it, the 996, 911, and the 370Z Nismo from Nissan are two very interesting cars, because certainly the 370Z, I think, is certainly following that line where we've even got the 280Z on the same spread as well, following that lineage of sort of unique, well put together, easily engineered sort of sports cars from Datsun and later Nissan. And there's definitely a sort of thriving support network for the 350Z, which sits in the middle of those two. And I can definitely see the 370 going the same way. It's being appreciated by enthusiasts. It's still very much an enthusiast car. And I think that's the way that's going to be the sort of the open door for new classic owners. They won't necessarily see themselves as classic owners, but certainly enthusiasts of the motor car. And I think the three modern cars that he's sort of included in this collection really nicely sort of point out that sort of that bracketry of, you're not going to immediately sort of notice yourself being a classic car enthusiast. You're not going to wake up one morning and want a Wolseley, but you are going to notice that you are a distinct car enthusiast and appreciate a car that requires a bit more care, a bit more interest, a bit more sort of introspection. And the three he's chosen are very unique in that respect. I think it'll be quite some time till we're doing a Chasers or a five trials for a McLaren 765LT, certainly the XP Spiders, the sort of later iterations of them. But maybe I'll still be at Classic Car Weekly when that day arrives, we'll see. But yeah, it's a brilliant spread. And again, some of them are stalwarts on the classic scene, the Jaguar Mark II, the BMW 635, the Sunbeam Alpine, some genuinely sweet cars. And I do like the Alpine V8 as well. They are fun little cars to wheel about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so it'll be interesting again to sort of see, sort of what tips he shares again this weekend. And obviously we will impart, you know, if he says anything particularly revelatory about the sort of the ups and downs of the classic car market, we will share that in Classic Car Weekly.
Is there still the goal for the weekend to set a record for sort of most cars sold or traded at one event? Or I know that was sort of an early idea for the show.
I've not heard anything fresh on that on that recently, but and given it's a year one event, they might want to kind of expand it in as time goes on. But no, I'll be very interested if they do set that record. Obviously, we will let you know.
Yeah, I'll have to see if there is a record for it to start with. BMW M2 competition as well is interesting as an idea. But yes, there is a very interesting spread and series of sort of buying bits there. If you're looking for more sort of Heartland classics, of course, you can enjoy the five trials that we put the Rover P5B through. I really enjoy writing that piece, actually, because the history behind the evolution of the sort of the Rover P5 series that led to the sort of honking V8 powered B was genuinely really interesting to sort of dive into and sort of parse apart. And the fact that Downing Street and the government bought so many of them to essentially stockpile, they were such favoured means of sort of driving about sort of dignitaries and
they are lovely. I love a Rover P5B coupe. It's just such a wonderfully characterful car, and you can loll up around in one of those all day.
Oh, you could really rack up some miles in one of those and arrive and feel not refreshed, but you certainly wouldn't feel exhausted by the end of it. It is a lovely place to be. Counter to that, though, there we've obviously got the Bond Bug buying guide. Again, something that I ended up writing again, found myself doing a lot of reading on. And recently I've been listening to Damon Hill's autobiography, which has an interesting sort of tie-in to certainly Reliant, which is that Middlebridge, who later produced the Scimitar, also at one point in time technically owned a Formula One team, which was a connection that I never anticipated putting together, but certainly one that I'm going to be doing a bit more sort of reading up on, because it's one of those brilliant bits of British motoring history that could only come out of sort of the 70s and 80s. But yeah, it's a jam-packed issue with plenty of good heartening news and plenty of reports from across the UK, including from our coffee and cars meeting up at Withall as well, which returns next month.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, so coffee and cars with all. Yeah, we had our we had one on Drive It Day. We had to show our support for that initiative. We had our first kind of dedicated one, earlier this month, and we are back again on the 15th of June. So if you have a classic car and you want to bring it along, it's free of charge. You've got a classic, and come along, come and chat with us. Enjoy the sunshine, look at some old buses. It's a great day out. So look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, worth the adventure and a very good way to kick off Father's Day as a little Classic Car Weekly themed treat. Otherwise, there's plenty more to enjoy in the latest issue of Classic Car Weekly. And obviously, the issue we've got in production at the moment is a bumper issue. We've got three iterations of The Way We Were and plenty of reports coming from all those events up and down the country, as we mentioned. I don't know if you've got anything else that you wish to divulge to the reader as an early treat.
Yeah, I know it's going to be it's our big summer special next issue. So, have a look through that. It's going to be, we've got all sorts. We've got a Father's Day gift guide as well. We've got a guide to all of the great events that you want to get in your diary for later this summer, and some great buys as well coming up at auction. So, definitely worth having a look for in the shops next week.
Perfect. Plenty more to look forward to. Well, obviously, we've got a busy few days remaining in this week as we get that bumper issue together. So, David, thank you very much for your time today. It's been, as always, a little bit of a joy to sort of break away from the production cycle and have a good chat. I'll leave you to crack on with your editorial duties.
Always a pleasure.
Right. Thank you very much. And as we said, we'll be back with another edition of the Classic Car Weekly podcast next week.